convention. I am going.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
We do have a table.
Okay.
Was that
you
a yes?
Take me wherever.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to call this Monroe City Council meeting, regular business meeting, to order, please. This is for Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. Ms. Smoot, if you could call the roll.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Gamble.
I heard that Councilmember Camp will not be here this evening and that Councilmember Gehring will be about 20 minutes late. Joy McCammon, could you come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Awesome.
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Joey. And before we begin this evening, many of you know that there was a massive landslide between Arlington and Darrington over the weekend. Our hearts and our prayers go out to all those affected by the landslide, and so it is with a bit of heaviness that we begin this night's meeting, and again, our prayers go out to everybody involved, including those who are aiding in the rescue efforts. Our first item of business this evening is announcements and presentations. We have a presentation from the Cascade Bike Club. If the person giving that presentation could please come forward and state your name for the record, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Jeff Aiken, a planner with Cascade Bike Club. Great, thanks for having me out. My parents live up in Lake Stevens, so a lot of my formative riding was out on High Bridge and Tuaco Loop and Woods Creek and around Lake Rosinger, so it's great to be back out here and be able to talk about bikes and the economic impact and just the social impact, health impact they can have on the community. I should also mention, yeah, Cascade. A little bit about Cascade. We have about 16,000 members in the Puget Sound area. A lot of people know us for some big recreational rides, Seattle to Portland, which is 206 miles, down to Portland, Chili Hilly, which gets about 10,000 people riding around Bainbridge. And then our daily rides, which we have a little over 2,000 daily rides over the course of a year, 2013 or so. Last year, there were a few ride leaders in the crowd who lead rides out here. Also teaching kids how to bike safely, teaching adults how to bike, teaching maintenance classes so you can keep your bikes in good repair. And then planning, engagement, and advocacy, working with communities such as yours to get better infrastructure, better policies on the books, and safer, more comfortable facilities on the road. And also a couple of our cohorts in Snohomish County, Snohomish Bikes does a lot of great work up here. Also, Washington Bikes, which used to be Bike Alliance of Washington, has done a lot of great work around the state and around bike tourism. And so if we look at trips to work, which only account for about 20% of our trips, only about less than 1% of Snohomish County residents ride bikes to work. So that's really our challenge. There's not a lot of people riding bikes to work, not a lot of people riding around, or as many as we would like to see. And in surveys, both in the Puget Sound region and nationally, it almost always comes down to safety, what type of facilities are we providing, where kids feel comfortable, where less experienced riders feel comfortable. Distance, so how long is your commute, those type of things. Terrain, a lot of people don't like hills, steep hills. Weather, dark nights and rain. And a lot of the different emerging facilities and using bikes on buses and other things can really address some of those challenges. I'll talk a little bit more about that as I go forward. So in terms of opportunities, this is a national statistic, but about 40% of trips are shorter than 2 miles. So it's not really about going 100% car-free, but it is, how do we make it comfortable, safe, convenient for people to take some of their trips by bike, and whether that's kids riding to school, going downtown to the library, the bakery, whatever it is. You know, a two-mile trip is just a 10-minute bike ride, and on that map of Monroe, you know, you can really see that you can cover a lot of ground in a few miles around town, and then as you get stronger and more confident or interested, connect into regional facilities and take some longer rides. So I'll go through a few statistics. There's been a lot of great research on cycling coming out in the last few years, and a lot of the designs and facilities are changing, and really talk about some of this current research. And the first one I wanted to talk about was who rides. And this research came out of Portland, and then Cascade did a study December of 2012 that backed up these findings almost to the exact percentages. But you know, 1% of cyclists identify themselves as strong and fearless, and that's really the infrastructure we see in many of our towns, of where you take the shoulder, hope there's not too much gravel or other things, and you know, you have cars moving by quickly, so you need to be strong and you need to be fearless. Enthused and confident, that next group at 6%. Those people will ride most of the year round, like a bike lane, if they can get them, will still squeeze through and ride in traffic when they have to. It's really kind of getting more people in this room and in our communities out on bikes. It's really how do we get that interested and concerned out on bikes. So that represents 60% of the people who might be taking some of those two-mile trips. And then both studies show about 30% have no interest in riding at all for a variety of reasons. So the interested but concerned, a lot of them want to ride more. Don't feel comfortable, and I think comfortable is the key word. There's safety that we see, a lot of statistics of how many accidents or how many issues we're having on our streets, but before people are going to get on their bike, they need to feel comfortable out there, have routes, either trails like Centennial Trail or similar paths, or safe bike lanes that they can get where they're going. Distance and hills, as we saw, is always a concern. But really interested in riding more and are looking for different facilities. And that last one, traffic stress is a big deal. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but I think in your particular city, in Monroe, that will definitely be a factor as we look to getting more people on bikes. And that traffic stress really says that it's the weakest link in the chain. So if you have a trip that has to cross Highway 2 or has to cross 203, if you don't feel comfortable for those four lanes you're crossing, you're probably not going to take your bike, or you're just going to stick to your neighborhood and do shorter trips. And you can see some different mapping where there's little islands of where people ride, but they won't cross some of those bigger barriers that you see, or they won't cross them with their kids or people who don't feel as comfortable on a bike. So really getting facilities that address that is important. And why ride? A lot of benefits that we've seen. I think most of us are familiar with a lot of these, but we should restate them quickly. First of all, I think it's fun. Almost all of us who've had a chance to have a bike as a kid remember that freedom and that fun and that exhilaration of getting out on the bike. And I think a lot of us who are older or whatever age we are still feel that exhilaration of getting out on the bike. And Cascade's work has really started to focus on not only those recreational riders who can ride to Portland, who do want to do longer rides and are stronger riders, but also how do we reach that interest of the concern? How do we get more kids on bikes? How do we get eight-year-olds, older adults on bikes, and facilities that they're comfortable on? Fitness is another reason a lot of us ride, and another reason a lot of us
that looks good.
Could ride more, yeah. We're on the slide to show at 7 o'clock. You know, we've all seen these statistics about rising obesity rates. I think it's about 27% in Snohomish County. So making a few trips by bike, having a chance to commute by bike does give us a chance to get some of that daily activity that helps with chronic diseases and other issues. This slide, both freedom, getting kids on bikes, having a chance to ride to the park to play with their friends, having a chance to ride to school, the library, other things, and it also correlates with childhood obesity. So as percent of kids that have decreased that used to walk or bike to school, we see a corresponding rise in obesity levels. It's really looking at that freedom and the infrastructure that makes it safe for kids. And I know we have a few in the audience to ride around and have their parents feel comfortable with them riding around on the street. And then also financial and time. Both of you may not need to have that gym membership or go as often in terms of maintaining a car or having one less car. AAA says about $9,000 a year to own a car. Most of the research has done about $300 a year to maintain a bike. So if you can have one less car or do other options, combine bike and bus, there's definitely financial incentives for people. And a lot of that research has also shown that when people do have more discretionary income, they do spend that in their community. So housing is our primary household cost, and then transportation is the second biggest household cost. So anything we can do to reduce transportation costs is more time and money we can spend in our communities. In terms of local business impact, there's also been a lot of great research that's been coming out the last few years that really touts that as well. In terms of real estate, attracting workers to your companies, productivity, bike tourism, and retail sales. So go into those a little bit more. Some studies out of California showed that, you know, within 150 feet of a bike path, about $9,000 more in terms of sale prices on houses, 11% more if you were close to what was there as a separated trail, similar to a Centennial Trail or a Burke-Gilman Trail. You know, you do see those increases in that value where people want to be close to recreational amenities, transportation amenities. In terms of attracting workers, especially younger workers and creative class workers into businesses, bike facilities and alternative transportation in general has shown to be a strong motivator. Also in terms of companies that provide bike facilities and lockers and end-of-trip facilities, showers, those type of things, you know, have lower healthcare costs, fewer employee sick days, better retention, more productivity. There's lots of great things. And a lot of our research and research people have been doing, you know, show millennials and younger 20-somethings are getting their license at, way of saying, you know, not as quickly as teens in the past, and so they are looking for not necessarily a car-free lifestyle, but a car-light lifestyle, or an opportunity to have other ways to get around when they're locating, saving on transportation costs. In terms of businesses and local businesses, that upper graph in the upper left is some research that's come out that shows that over the course of a month, customers that arrived via bike were spending more than customers that arrived by car on a local shopping street. And this, once again, was out of Portland. It's kind of been leading a lot of the bike research at Portland State. Cars did spend more per trip, so they were buying more when they did shop at a particular store, but didn't stop as often. And so most of the theory around that was if you're on a bike and you ride by a particular store or a coffee shop or whatever it is every day, you may make more smaller purchases, but an opportunity to keep some of that money local. And the 66% was when a bike facility went into San Francisco, and 66% of those merchants saw an increase in their sales. There have been a few different studies in Seattle where some bike facilities have gone in that have showed that same type of result of sales going up. And I think one of the big ones for Snohomish County, Monroe, and other communities here, just with the amazing scenery and access to the mountains and the valley here, is bike tourism. There was just an editorial in the Everett Herald today, I believe, by Barb Chamberlain from Washington Bikes and Tom Teagan. I'm not sure if that's exactly how I said his name, but the Snohomish County Parks Director. And they had identified that 4.4 million visitors to Snohomish County Parks and a $30 million economic impact of those visitors. And in Portland, really, or excuse me, in Oregon, Travel Oregon had a report last year that showed $325 million into the Oregon statewide economy through bike tourism. and businesses in eastern Oregon that had captured overnight visitors and others who were touring had 19 times the impact of those same visitors. So they were getting motel rooms, eating out, enjoying different things in the community. So I think that's pretty important with Centennial Trail and just other opportunities in this whole region to really look at both how Monroe, Snohomish County, and the state kind of can capture some of this economic impact around bike tourism. So third main part is really new planning for bikes. There's been a lot of emerging trends to try to get to how we capture that interest but concern, how we make people feel safer, more comfortable out on their bikes. So I'm going to quickly go through a few of those. And in our work in Snohomish County, focused more in Edmonds and Linwood on a grant we're doing, kind of three main things popped up, but the one we heard over and over again was wayfinding. And that's basically signage. How do you get around the community? Both highlights existing facilities you may already have, streets that are good for biking, streets that may have bike lanes, but also parks, schools. So people both on a bike can get around the community in a safer way. People in their car can see how they might get around if they chose how to bike. And some of the newer signs like this that do have the minute indicators along with the distance really show that a lot of times it's not that far by bike. You know, it can be 10, 15 minutes for that that 2 mile loop or 2 mile radius we talked about earlier. Next is really getting at that level of traffic stress that I mentioned, so having complete connections. So as you look at facilities or you have the opportunity to make investments or improving streets, really making sure that there's not just a series of projects, but a real complete connection so you can get to your major destinations or across Highway 2 or those issues. And that's really what's going to start to attract more of those people who have concerns about safety. It's really making sure that we have complete connections to some of the primary destinations. And then lastly is really separation. And a lot of the bike facility design has been getting to more and more separation from faster moving vehicle traffic to make it more comfortable for people. And this is really context sensitive depending on the street, depending on where in the community or on rural roads you are, but going everything from on the left to riding within the lane on a slower speed, calmer street, to having a fully separated, protected bike facility. And I guess the one they don't show here is an off-street path, which would be the thing that makes people feel the most comfortable, the most safe from traffic. So looking at a few of those options, a protected bike lane, having some sort of buffers here if the cars are parked that you see in the background, and that provides the buffer from traffic, and then also the bollards. It gives a little more separation, allows people to feel a little more comfortable. We're seeing communities also where they have shoulder room and lane room to do a buffered bike lane. Here, using paint as a buffer. But many benefits here. Narrowing the travel lanes usually slows down the travel speed, can keep it closer to that 30 or 35 miles an hour you might have posted. Creates a little more room and a little more comfort for bikes with that extra room on the side of the road. Traditional bike lanes still definitely have their place, and in emerging networks we see that as one of the key features of how you get around. Really look at adding those on any road projects or where you can restripe lanes, narrowing lanes, different rechannelization options as you start to examine traffic speeds and traffic volumes. The other big thing is intersection design, and whether that's green paint, continuing bike lanes through the intersection, that's really a key feature. In the past, we've seen a lot of designs where it stopped before the intersection, and then cyclists don't feel comfortable, cars don't know their position, bikes, etc. And intersections are generally where about 50% of crashes we see happen in an intersection. So any kind of steps we can take to improve intersections are important on those complete connections. And then neighborhood greenways, which is also really been happening pretty quickly the last few years, but these are quiet residential streets that have been optimized for bikes and pedestrians. And basically, the optimization is signage, some sort of traffic calming so you don't have cut-through traffic, And at times they'll adjust the stop signs so you're not stopping every block if you're on a bike, and to make it not as attractive for cars to speed through those neighborhoods, but make it a little more enjoyable for kids out, people who are less comfortable on the street to get out and ride their bike. And of course, more rural roads, shoulders, kept clean where people ride, and more of those recreational routes, that's obviously the type of facility we see. So I guess in terms of things we're seeing cities do and opportunities as you think about transportation plan and comprehensive plan, we're really talking about how we start to change the culture, get away from the old kind of tired meme of war on cars, but really talk about creating more transportation options, making sure it's safe and comfortable and useful for everyone to get where they need to go, regardless of mode. So really looking at how we change the culture, seeing things like closed streets and other things where people have closed street for a day or a Sunday or parkways, different events like that. Looking at adopting a complete streets ordinance, basically says as you build new streets or do major projects on streets, how do you provide for modes, all modes on those streets. Wayfinding, as we mentioned. One resource, if you haven't seen it, is WashDOT did a complete streets as main streets, which looks at state highways that run through cities and opportunities to improve those to make a better place and make it more comfortable for bikes and pedestrians. Looking at an overall master plan of what those north, south, east, west connections are. And then lastly, really seeing cities start to have a more serious conversation. And Kenmore last night, where two people have been killed in crosswalks in the last week. Looking at this Vision Zero of how do we eliminate all serious fatalities on our roads, you know, 20-year span. I mean, as soon as possible, but a lot of the overall policy language is, you know, what steps can you do to make the streets safer for everyone? And looking at those goals, and New York City has one, Seattle is looking at one, a lot of different cities are looking at those, and the state of Washington as well. And I think when we think of kids and parents and just everyone out on the streets, it really safety is a key priority for all of us. With that, thanks. Really appreciate the opportunity to come out and talk. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to answer, provide any resources we can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councilmember Kadebeck.
Thank you. Jeff, I just wanted to thank you for coming out here and taking the time, and it's a great presentation, so I appreciate it. And I just want to encourage people in the audience, this month we are working on the 10-year comp plan update, and this month is transportation. So if you haven't got on the city website, and there's a link to Envision Monroe, I encourage you to get on there and give your feedback on transportation and bike lanes and all of that. We could really use more citizen input. And my last comment is more cycling in this community really fits, you know, our Adventure Starts Here brand that the city has, and also really fits what the Chamber has come up, which is Ride Here. And so I'm excited about how we can develop this in the future. So thank you.
Okay, anybody else? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on the agenda is a public hearing. This is AB 14-053. It's ordinance number 005-2014, extending interim sign code regulations. And I believe that Mr. Popelka has a presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. We're here tonight for a public hearing. We're proposing to extend our interim sign regulations one more time for 3 months to allow us to finish some changes and perhaps solicit a little more input. The public hearing is for the public to make comments specifically regarding this interim extension, as well as offering other comments that they may have. We adopted this originally about a year ago, intentionally with a six-month interim period to allow time for grace period for businesses. and allow time to test and tweak the code to identify any potential problems. And we did send a note to every licensed business in the entire city back then. So tonight, we simply haven't had the resources to get this finished. So we're asking for a short three-month extension. Current regulations now expire late April, and that will allow us plenty of time to actually finally put this together, adopt permanent regulations, and with that begin our enforcement program, which has been lingering since we still have interim rights. We've been enforcement based on complaints, but with the adoption of the new code, we plan to start enforcing every aspect of that code on a very consistent basis.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions of staff? Councilmember Cutaback.
Paul, we've extended this once, so there's no issue with doing another three-month extension of this interim ordinance, because we've extended, is it twice we've extended it?
We've extended it once.
Once.
We actually adopted it with 6 months.
6 months, and then extended it, and now we're extending it 3 months.
Second time, just 3 months.
So there's no issue with continuing to extend it.
No, the only requirement is that at some point during, before, or within a certain amount of time after extending the regulations, we do have a public hearing.
Okay.
So it's also a good chance to try and solicit some other input.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pakulka. Please let the record show that Councilmember Gehring came in at 7:27 during Mr. Popelka's presentation. We will now open up the public hearing for this ordinance. Nobody placed their name down as being interested in speaking tonight. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak regarding this matter for the public hearing? Anybody? Interim sign regulations. Anybody? Okay. I see nobody coming forward to give citizen testimony. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Before I see if there's any discussion on the matter, Mr. Popelka, do you have anything to add?
Yes. I just wanted to note that our requested action was to actually hold the public hearing and begin to take action at our next meeting, but we do have an alternative that council should decide to do so, to actually adopt the extension on first reading tonight and do a second reading at the next council meeting. We do have time. We're not under a time crunch at this point since they don't expire until late April, but it's an option. I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Okay, any discussion on closing citizen testimony? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on closing the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Paul, is there any reason not to do first reading tonight? It's just a first reading. We need to move forward with this.
Well, since we didn't have any testimony, I see no reason why we shouldn't go ahead and do it. Why we should not go ahead and do a first reading. In any case, we're going to begin to do some work on this to have it done within, 4 months from now, within 3 months.
Okay. And the when is the second reading scheduled? A couple weeks out?
It's
before the end of April, right, the deadline?
Right now we're scheduled for first reading on April 1st and second reading the following April 8th.
Well, I'll make a motion if it flies or not. That's great. If not, then that's fine too. Accept as first reading ordinance number, I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 005-2014, renewing interim zoning regulations adopted under ordinance number 002-2013 and codified in chapter 18.80 MMC signs.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0 plus plus staff. I heard that. Okay.
Nice.
That ends the public hearing. We're now going on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. I had two sign-in sheets before the meeting started. The first person that I have is Katrina McGregor. If you could please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm Katrina McGregor, and I'm from Whidbey Island, 5062 Honeymoon Bay Road in Freeland. I saw the article in the Herald about the Monroe Fest, and since this is what I do for a living, I had to come talk to you about it. I, by the way, brought packets of information, business cards, and a flash drive with more handouts for everybody. And I'm not really a salesperson, so this is not my comfort zone, but I'm really good at doing events successfully, and I've been doing just public events and corporate events since 1996. So I'm going to use this cheat sheet because I'm really good at the sponsors that I'm speaking. I noticed that the City of Monroe hadn't chosen their own talent, and they didn't have contracts with people. They didn't know who was coming. Those things are just wrong in the business. That should never happen. You should choose your own talent. One of the deals I handed out is a custom list. We can run a custom list in any genre and budget. You choose your talent. We make an offer. You get a contract. You know they're coming or they've got to cancel. There's extra fees in there that you have to know to expect. We have to have you know that. There's just never a time that you should not know what's coming and what you're going to be hit with. And there's ways to budget ahead of time and know exactly what we can afford and who we can afford to have. Somebody's really cheap, but they want a five-star hotel and six runners and a pink limousine. We can't afford them even if their fee is cheap. We have to know everything ahead of time, and Target Talent can do that for you so easily. We can promote the show. There's so many ways to promote that don't even cost money. Twitter, Facebook, the fan page from the artists. Then there's free TV interviews, free radio interviews. There's newspaper. There's everything that we can do for no cost at all. I personally would love to see you go with a company like mine, and you have the price before you ever signed with us, and make money and have a great event and not have a single taxpayer angry with you. So I'd like you to go over this information. There is a flash drive in here too with even more information on it. I didn't want to give you a telephone book. I'm on Whidbey. I can be on FaceTime, Skype, conference calls for every single meeting, and I hope you consider using us if you do this again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next person that I have signed up for public comment is Dan Williams. Mr. Williams, if you can come forward and state your name and address for the record, please. And we'll reset the timer.
Williams, 1920 165th Avenue, Southeast Monroe.
Thank you.
I'll see you all out to everybody here. I'm looking at them. I'll see. I'm going to have 10 of them. So
sure. Mm-hmm. You need one?
I haven't been here. So as I was talking to my neighbor about this police motorcycle in town, I was going from another city, as I was able to acquire grants from Aristocracy Motorcycle Company. And after doing some other research, I found there's all kinds of grants for police motorcycles they just apply for. Now, on the first page there, you'll see this particular motorcycle. There's a grant they want to drive on June 20th, and the second page I send you is all the benefits that's with that particular motorcycle, the cost, and everything that the good features of why we should use that one compared to another one that costs gasoline and more money. And so I was just saying maybe we need to utilize all the federal grant money that's possible to put up on some of the city's finances. And if I'm not mistaken, a couple of weeks ago, you guys approved for two motorcycles, $58,000. But if we have three schools, two motorcycles is not going to be enough. So maybe if we apply for this grant and ask for four, we can have two motorcycles in each school zone. Yes, I mean, I don't know, it might be three, I'm not sure, but at least two would get us a good start to try to control the school zone speed and that's been going on. Since the red light cameras have been turned off. And I'm saying just utilize as much money as we can because we don't have a lot of money in the budget. And if we can tap into this federal money that's just sitting around, $100 million, I don't know why we won't use that option. There's other links I have, if anybody else wants the links to the other federal grant programs, I have it at home. I'll just email you with that. If anybody up here, any councilman or the mayor will want it, please do. In fact, they come by yesterday to talk to you about it. So that's all I have. Keep it brief. You guys can just read it. The second page, $1.64 per mile. Pretty cheap. That's a penny a mile to operate this motorcycle.
Dan, could I ask a question?
Mr. Williams.
This says page three. It's got two pages, but this says page three. I'm just wondering if there was a third.
Is that the one that says features for zero site?
Yeah, this one says page three, and then there's this, but I didn't know if there's actually three pages, and I just...
No, the second page just was two. Just my notes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Paraphrase, it's short enough. I only have 5 minutes.
No, it's all good. Yeah, I just want to make sure I didn't miss a hand up.
I paraphrased the paraphrase.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to comment? This is the time for comments. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Come forward.
I didn't know to sign up.
It's okay.
I did want to say that I'm one of those Cascade bicyclists that actually live...
I'm sorry. Before you continue, I need you to state your name and thank you.
My name is Rick Hart. My wife and I live here in Monroe up on the farm.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you. And yes, I'm one of those Cascade bicyclists. And I know that there are a lot of bicyclists that come here in the area and spend money. I see them. When you cycle, you notice them more. Mm-hmm. And one major route that comes through here in June is Flying Wheels. Mm-hmm. It's the big prep ride for the Seattle Portland. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the places they come through. But also, I see some of those social rides that were mentioned and a lot of just individuals out there. And being a runner on the streets and a cyclist, I can think of one concrete proposal, and that would be to widen the bicycle lane on Main going out toward the prison. It's tiny. It's unmarked. There's nothing that says it's a bicycle lane. And if we could just widen that a little bit, and there's plenty of room in the street on both sides, that would be very helpful and very welcoming to those people that want to stop and have coffee at the shop or a pie or lunch or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is useful, and we're here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else that would like to give public comment? Anybody else? Yes, sir, Mr. Brock.
Hello, I'm Keith Brock, and I'm the producer of the Mineral Music Fest. You guys already know that. Just wanted to come in and make sure that everybody got my addendum, my proposal for the Mineral Music Fest. And that proposal that I would be putting forward at least $20,000 towards the event. In addition to that, I've also solicited our vendors for the event, key vendors that would be very important in our marketing campaign towards the success of the event. So I just wanted to make sure you guys knew about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. Does anybody have any questions?
I don't see any. Thank you, Mr. Brock.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that has comments? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. We're going to move on to student representative report. I do not see our student representative here this evening. Next up is the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Move to accept consent agenda.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Cuttaback. Any discussion on approving the minutes? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item is unfinished business. This is AB 14054, Monroe Music Fest discussion. And Mr. Farrell?
Mayor, evening, Council. During the March 11th Council meeting, Keith Brock was invited to present his views on lessons learned from the 2013 Music Fest event and his ideas for future consideration. During the Council discussion, Council requested that the Music Fest discussion be continued to tonight in order to allow Keith Brock 2 more weeks to bring forward any additional information that he may have. Mr. Brock did submit information on the proposal that is included in your packet, as he spoke of earlier. While he was not asked to provide a detailed business plan, he submitted a general plan where he proposes, as he said, to personally invest approximately $20,800 if the city were to match with cash funding of approximately $21,400 toward proposed expenses for a music fest. Council also requested that I provide information if there are any other music events scheduled for this year here, and I have included that information in your packets as well. We have confirmed with Snohomish Artists Guild that they are returning this year, and they've scheduled 4 more free outdoor music concerts at Lake Tai Park on Thursday evenings in July and August. The Snohomish Artists Guild, they select all the bands, provide the sound, lighting, solicit sponsors, markets, and produces the concerts. And the city provides a space for them at Lake Tai Park. And in addition, the four free movies, outdoor movies that we've had for several years here in Monroe, they also provide an hour of free movie music to the public on Friday evenings in August. So for a total of 8 free public music concerts in the park. So that is all.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. All right. Council, any discussion? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Mike, in regards to the 4 music concerts, can you give us an idea of kind of what the attendance is to those events?
Yes, last year was the first year, and a couple of them had about 100 people, and a couple of them had about 200 people. So I'd say that, let's add up to about 600 people, probably total for the 4
Okay. And then with the other, with those events and then even the larger scaled events such as the triathlon and the Pro Wake Tour, can you give us an idea of what kind of partnerships or concessions that the city provides to the to those events?
Sure. They vary, of course,
sure,
being different events, but basically all the events I can say that are special events, you know, which would include, say, triathlons and the music concerts you're talking about, also like wakeboard competitions, mm-hmm, and whatnot. There's basically the typical concessions, as you're mentioning. The city would provide appropriate space, you know, as long as it's approved, spaces, you know, whether that be a lake or a covered shelter or a field or whatnot, parking, and then general services we provide, you know, whether that be road closures, barricades, traffic control, parking control, general maintenance, things like that, you know, litter, restroom maintenance, those sorts of things. Those are typical of what's
Okay. But none of those events were asked to contribute funds as far, similar to what we are with Music Fest then?
No.
Okay. Okay. And that's all the questions I have.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
Okay.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I wasn't here on the 11th, so I missed that. I appreciate, Mike, all the information that was in here. I'm a big fan of this. Would love to see it happen again, and I certainly don't think that something this size, the city, I don't think we can put in zero for something of this size. If this is something that we do want to see happen, there's going to be some sort of expenditure. Now, I think a few weeks ago, we were like, the number 65,000 was thrown out, which I think everybody balked at, right?
Wasn't at that meeting.
Yeah, well, everyone balked at that number. Extremely large. It's something of this undertaking. Lots of lessons learned. Read through those things. I really need a professional, as it says in here, need professional promotion, those kinds of things. The talent was amazing. And that kind of thing, I don't know that you can duplicate necessarily with some of the other events that we have. The people involved were able to bring in acts that you simply can't get elsewhere. It looks like 1,700 is listed here as a break-even point, and based on the numbers that Councilmember Rasmussen was just kind of pinging about, that sounds like that is a little higher than what we at least have anticipated in the past, or would expect at some of these other ones. And I'm assuming that based on the hope of very successful marketing, we'd be able to get that many people here. I think what was the attendance last year was 500, 600? Was it?
We sold 467 tickets. But we didn't count people, but beyond that,
there were
more people than that, so maybe there was that 500, 600 people, because number one, there were some tickets that were given away, promos, and then there also children were admitted free, so
right.
There were any children there.
Yeah. Ultimately, a bold idea. I'm really glad we did it. I would really love to see it succeed again. But the city's role certainly needs to be greatly reduced, and the city's involvement absolutely has to be very much scaled back. I certainly like to take the tact of what can we do versus let's just not do it. I don't know if it's total apples to apples comparison to some of the other free events we have, given the nature of the talent that could be brought in and was brought in last year. But I guess my initial thoughts on this, and I apologize since I wasn't here last time when the first discussion was had. 20 grand is still a lot of money. Look at here. So I don't know that if we're going to pull this off, like I said. It's not going to be zero. I don't think it can possibly be zero. But, I'd like to see what we can do to pull this off again in a way that greatly reduces city involvement, because that's not what we're in the business of doing. We provide a place and that kind of a thing. And certainly want, it is something that makes this town unique, continuing doing those things. It's something that separates us from other places. And we truly are in competition with other towns for people's dollars. And I don't want to... I don't want to dismiss an opportunity. I'd like to see what we can do. So my initial thoughts, and again, you guys discussed it a couple weeks ago, but I'd like to see what we can do. Again, with the city's role, I'm greatly reduced. Thank you. Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, so I guess, when I look at the financial information that Mr. Brock's provided, the thing, we had the Evergreen Fairgrounds here last week, and they presented some information. And I think one of the interesting things was that, even for their top headliner events, they struggled to get over the 700 mark. Is that what I recall?
Yeah.
Anybody recall the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The same thing. And, the talent level at last year's, event, fantastic. There's no arguing that. Everybody knows I started out as a music major, so I'm I'd love to see the event. Happen. I guess the question I would have is, Mike, are we are we married to Lake Ty? Are we married to that venue? What I heard was an open invitation also from the state fairgrounds to partner more with the city around events. You know, I see stuff, you know, in the presentation here of portable restrooms, liquor liability, temp fencing, sound, lighting, you know, a lot of infrastructure type things that are already in place. You know, they kind of specialize in, you know, in that type of thing. I mean, I think it's great to be able to feature it at, you know, at Lake Ty. It's awesome. But there's a lot of expense that's associated with that. And if we're you're interested in keeping the, you know, the event and wanting that to happen, it just seems to me we would look into venues that are more conducive, would reduce our expenses, and maybe there's, you know, some sort of in-kind relationship. I mean, I've spoken my thoughts on this over the last several meetings. You know, we made that investment up front that, you know, hey, we're going to put it out there, make an investment in this, see what we get from an interest level, corporate sponsorships, that. We really didn't get any, you know, other than the in-kind stuff that was made from concessions from the city, and then also in limited from local vendors. So if we are going to repeat this event, I think that we need to, you know, either it needs to be, in my opinion, completely funded by, you know, whoever's interesting in putting the event on, with partnership from the city, where if they want to use Lake Tahoe partnership, you know, partner in that way, police, you know, personnel, that type of stuff. But I'm really hesitant to even at a $20,000 amount, when we later have on the agenda tonight, how are we going to pave a street? You know, as much as I love music, and I'll be at a music concert tomorrow for my daughter, you know, that, you know, it just, it rings true to me. So that's my thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I'm also a music lover. And so this is very, just a struggle inside of me, because on the one hand, I completely agree with Councilmember Green, where if you're going to put on a production of this quality, you're going to have to put out some money, and it only makes sense. But you know, we've already talked about this. We did last year. We knew it was a risk. We stepped out in faith and to see what would happen, and you know, we pulled off something great, but it cost us. And I'm not willing to sign off on another large check for a music fest, as great as it was. I don't think the city should be spending hardly anything on this wonderful event. I just, you know, it'd be totally different if you were saying, hey, we just need you to help with, you know, cover the staffing, or, you know, something that we could kind of cover with manpower down at the lake or whatever. That would make sense to me, you know. But I agree with you, Councilmember Gamble. No pun intended, I'm not willing to gamble again this year.
Never heard that before, ever.
For you.
Anything else, Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you again. You know, I got to put it out there to Mike and his staff. I mean, looking at the stuff that was submitted on the 18th, over 400 hours just from the Parks Department alone. I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, you guys were phenomenal. You know, other staff hours I'm seeing in here. I mean, just incredible the amount of work that went into it. And you know, I really don't think that we can discount that or forget it by any means. And I certainly want to bring that to the floor and recognize that. And I guess I just want to finish off the comments in agreement with what I'm hearing. Bottom line is, great event, has potential. I would encourage Mr. Brock or whoever to, I guess, carry out the dare to dream and, you know, work with professionals to promote it and put it on. And, you know, they're welcome here in Monroe. I'm just not in favor, like, what I'm hearing, of spending taxpayer money to fund it. So, but I do hope something is worked out and, you know, it can happen somewhere around Monroe.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring?
Thank you. Appreciate it. To location, did you get an answer? Were we married to Lake Tahoe? Because I agree with the fairgrounds. I didn't know if there was, and perhaps if that may reduce some of the costs in general with, I mean, no.
No, I'm not interested in being as sad, but and that's something that I could have a discussion with the fairgrounds.
I'm even, you know, just the there was an Oktoberfest. There's been lots of things where in that I can't think of the name of the big. Is it the Drewel building? The big part in the
it's the Gary Weichel building.
It's the Weichel building now. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe it had a different. The big new building right in the middle of the fairgrounds. Huge, and they've had music in there before. You know, if it's raining, it's great. You can open up all the doors. There's air. So, you know, when I think of a venue, and that might be a great place because then you're covered both rain and sun. But at least, and perhaps that would reduce some of this that kind of a thing. If there's a way to, you know, I see like 5,000 for this and 8,000 for that in the city column. Yeah, if you take 13,000. You know, I don't know. I would love to at least look at it a little bit more with a different venue, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, the fencing, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's there's things that you can scratch off right off the bat. Place with parking. It's still in Monroe. People can still come here. People can still spend their money. We can still have, you know, the high quality talent. So again, I want to look at it from what can we do. I certainly certainly understand and respect the everything. You know, we threw $100,000 at the school district. That's taxpayer money, Tim. That's part of what we're doing, is weighing what's best. You know, what's best for the community and bring people in to spend their money here. Quite frankly, is we're a sales tax city. That's worth investing a little bit in to get people here. So, in my mind. But again, any way that we can reduce, you know, if we can scratch temporary fencing, you know, you don't need portable restrooms, then, you know, there's a bunch of things that you can take right off by having it elsewhere. So I'd be interested in looking at that a little bit more. Anything that reduces our column makes me more apt to want to move forward. I don't want to hope it works out. I still want to be an active partner, again, in setting it up so that others can do it, and then we can provide support, and, you know, even if it's on our website or in our email blast or, you know, whatever it is that we can do at the minimal amount necessary that where everyone's comfortable. I don't know if everybody, you know, if the cost was zero, I don't know if everybody, you know, people would be on board if the cost was zero. So if we can look at getting that cost more towards zero, we may not, and we may walk away. I apologize. You guys had this whole discussion a couple weeks ago, but I'd like to still give it a little bit of effort, and figure that out. Fairgrounds is a great place. I'd love to see it at the fairgrounds, especially because, you know, weather-wise, you might be able to, you know, rain or shine, it's going on. So anyway, thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
So I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and you know, I saw some comments or quotes in the paper talking about how this was a gift from the city to the community, and that's not how I remember the discussion and how this came about. It really was talked about as an economic development opportunity or a vehicle to bring people into our community and spend money and showcase Monroe. And I haven't seen any data that support that. I asked that question of, could we see if, you know, sales tax increased on that day, or were businesses, you know, Well, we could see that information when the Wake Board was there because Sockeyes gave that comment
that's a good point.
They ran out of product. And so we had that feedback and some other big events that we've had at Lake Ty that seem really beneficial for the city to partner with. We've had that positive feedback of the economic impact. We did not hear that from the Music Fest. And I know in our discussion around that, it really was looked at as an economic opportunity to showcase. Now, there's other reasons for doing Music Fest, obviously for community good and promote music and all those good things. But we lost about $36,000 last year doing this Music Fest of taxpayer dollars. So based on that, you wouldn't say it was a successful event in promoting economic positive impact or making a profit. Now, I hear the event was great. I don't think anyone argues that the musicians were high quality and all of that. And I think when we can do events like that, it's great, but not on the taxpayer's dime. Not when we're looking at street funding, not maintenance, not getting funded. Not when we're looking at Walmart permit fees that were budgeted. So when I weigh kind of choices that we have to make, a Music Fest where the city is putting out money falls much farther down as a priority. And then the other issue is we talk about, well, we want to discuss this more or maybe find alternatives, but we've heard from the chamber and from others that timing's tight and the planning of an event like this for it to be really successful takes time. And we haven't heard of sponsors on board right now. So I think where I'm in favor of doing is turning it over. If a promoter wants to do this and wants to present something to the city and totally take it on and ask the city for help and partnership in small areas, that's one thing. But I even think the city staff, you know, trying to plan this in the time we have is a stretch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are my biggest concerns is we don't have corporate sponsors lined up right now, not to the degree you need to. There's becoming a lack of time. The fairgrounds would be a great option, but is that really an option? And how much time and energy are we going to invest in trying to push this together in this short a time to try to make it successful? So I know that if this comes for a vote tonight, I will not be in favor and I will be not voting for the city putting a lot of resources and dollars into this event. And getting feedback from the community, what I've heard from residents and people around the community is don't spend the money again on this and questioning that. So listening to that, you know, I have to listen to that. Taxpayers, the feedback I've heard was don't spend taxpayer dollars on this. So. Again, if it comes to a vote tonight, I will not be voting in favor of us putting out any money on this event. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Well, I think that Mr. Brock did a fantastic job of putting on a fantastic show. And I don't think that's debatable. I've heard from everybody, and if I didn't have a previous engagement, I would have been there. And I'm sorry I missed it because it's one of those events, I think. One in a million type deal. So, I appreciate his. I believe his offer is generous, and I appreciate that offer. I'm looking at even if we did put in $20,000, we're looking at $40,000, and we're starting out with a figure that we were told a couple of weeks ago about 65 is more realistic, and that's the low end. But we've heard as high as 100,000 on this. We've got time issues. To boot, so I'm worried about throwing good money after bad. If we started something, even you know $20,000, are we really really under what we need to be doing? And is it just going to be a waste at that point? I think the idea of the music festival is wonderful. I support it, and I'd like to see it happen again. But I'm hesitant to spend any money. I think the city can do a lot in kind. We have the facility. We have property. We have things that we can you know, we have manpower that we can put towards this. But as Councilmember Cuddeback said, I think if it was in somebody else's hands and then the city came in to help where we could, I think that would be the ideal situation for me. I really don't want to see us spending money and paying for it like we did last year. So I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, just two things. I mean, the $0 was, I mean, I'm totally for a proposal that shows, you know, where we're doing in-kind, you know, type donations in a partnership with the city. 100% for that. I did want to address the one comment in regards to our vote in supporting the school district from a field. I think there, one, there's two different budgets. But, you know, with this we're talking, we come straight out of the general fund. I'm forgetting Diane, it's coming out of the $100,000 for the fields.
Was it REIT?
It's REIT money, correct? Wanted to specify that.
Yeah.
In addition to that, that's an investment in a multi-million dollar asset where we're only putting $100,000 out that we gain as an asset to the community. It stays. When we're looking to invest in something like a music fest, that's fantastic. One of the things that we were looking for last year was something that, you know, where we would get that partnership. You know, if it's going to sustain and it's going to become an asset, you know, to the community with that partnership, we need a partner. Right, Mr. Brock stepped up, and that's fantastic. I believe we have a partner there. And one of the things we haven't talked about that is also one of the highlights, or one of the things that was that came out of this, is these are all local artists that have made it, you know, big. A lot of the lineup were all, you know, local artists, and I think that's fantastic to showcase. But you know, we need a partner, from whether it's a corporate partner or whatever, that would be in this for the long haul. And a lot of the music events that, you know, I've, you know, been a part of, or in capacities wherever I've worked, where I've started a partnership, it was a long-term partnership. It was multi-year. It was 3-4 years, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't see that. So I just wanted to make a comment, make sure we differentiated between that, you know, the school investment that we all voted on. That's REIT money, not coming out of the general fund, and it's also for an asset for the community that will go on for many, many years to come.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I neglected to thank Mr. Brock earlier for that commitment on coming out of your own pocket. I mean, that is tremendous. And please don't misunderstand me that we're not grateful for that at all, because we are. Thank you very much.
Hey, Council. I see no other lights. Is it Council's interest in pursuing this at this time? Okay. I don't see a motion in directing staff to proceed with this. Councilmember Hanford?
Do we need a motion?
I would say that if you would like staff to proceed with any further action on this, that a motion would be needed. But if there is no motion, I will consider the matter closed.
Well, I'll make a motion to would Mike be the one to check into the fairgrounds? I mean, that would be my preference. I would to make a motion to have city staff check into having it at the fairgrounds, if that's something that is even feasible, and then we can partner with the city can partner in. What was the wording we used? Services.
In-kind.
In-kind, yeah.
Okay.
That's a motion. I'll second it.
So, I have a motion and I have a second. To be clear then, are you looking for staff to call the fairgrounds to find out what it would take to put that sort of event on? Or is it the interest that we would partner financially on this? Or... just that I can. The thing is that as staff invests more time in continuing to research the subject, it would be helpful to understand where that's going. Would we be putting money forward? Would we be looking into information to give to Mr. Brock so that he can then pursue it? If you're talking about labor. I.e. staff going over and helping out at Lake Tai at one of our park facilities, is different than helping out at a county facility. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's a completely different facility. We don't have jurisdiction there, and so I, again, before we proceed with directing staff to do that, I'd like Mr. Farrell to understand what the direction is, and I'd like council to understand what the scope to expect would be. I could see one aspect being that Mr. Brock could certainly call the fairgrounds and pursue it on his own. Staff could certainly do that as a gesture to find the information out. But if we find out what the facts are you expecting this to come back to a council meeting in a couple weeks with a staff report and with findings? And then if so, what are we going to do? So again, I just am trying to understand if the matter is closed or where we're going with that. So I would ask for a little bit more discussion on the
yield
topic.
For a comment?
Yeah,
just as the second, I'd just be looking for the information, not a financial commitment. If it's not feasible in the time frame that we're talking about for this year, then that simply would be the end of it for this year. And if we're going to be doing in kind, that's an in kind kind of thing. Just and simply, here's what we found out. That's all I'd be looking for at this point. And from then, you know, we're either done or we're like, hey, it's a possibility. And then, as everyone has stated, we want someone to, you know, someone else then needs to carry that forward.
Okay.
I'm not interested in any financial stuff. Let's find out. You know, if it's not feasible at that other location, then great. Because we may find out that it's, you know, even more expensive to do it there, which then I think then that just slashes that as well, right? So if we're going to be providing in-kind kind of support, you know, we certainly want to have it at the best kind of place. So I'd be looking for information, certainly not for any city money and the least amount of staff time possible. Let's find out and find out what the answer is.
Okay. And I lost
me though. So.
And I lost track of who had their lights, so I'm just going to.
Thanks for yielding.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with Councilmember Gamble.
So, just on the, you know, on the motion, I guess, you know, from my perspective, yeah, I heard an open invitation from the fairgrounds that, you know, they'd be willing to partnership with us on, you know, on events. And obviously, anytime there's an event at the fairground, we have a benefit to the city. So I guess really it would be, you know, I think you could do it under the auspices of, you know, you met with the, you know, the council. We are very much interested in, you know, what, you know, if the Monroe Music Fest were not in a position to, you know, lay out a budget, expense budget for that event, what is the cost for the music, you know, for a music festival, or what would that entail partnership wise? And then also, I would leave this matter open for anybody or any event promoter or coordinator that wants to show us a proposal where the city is only outlaying in kind donations, and whether that is this year or in 2015. That would just, you know, would be out there. That we would leave it open. That, you know, more than willing to partner with anybody, you know, around a music fest or musical event of any kind. I mean, we already have four, you know, going on over at Lake Tye. But yeah, I would be interested in, you know, what I mean. They do it on a regular basis. We could talk to Hal, and he'd be able to tell us this is what it costs. This is our cost to put on a show. REO Speedwagon came in. It cost us this much. Queensryche came in, and I mean, these are all artists that have been, you know, over there within the last 2 years, and we could get a, you know, a real quick response on that. I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would take them much to provide that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to vote no on the motion, and just explain my reasoning. I think it's great to leave it open if a promoter comes forward and has a proposal for us and details out what they need from the city, and if it's in kind only would I look at it. I think us gathering information on the timeline and still not having a clarity or vision on what it is, it doesn't make sense to me. So I would leave it open to the fact that, hey, if a promoter is interested in bringing forward a proposal, that's how I would leave it open at this time. I don't necessarily want to put more staff time, resources in looking at something that I think there was somewhat consensus on the council as far as outlaying any funds. So we don't have a promoter who's willing to take that on right now. So I guess for me, it doesn't make sense for us to keep looking into it when we don't have that. Now, if we have a promoter come forward and list out assistance, which is helping to get the fairgrounds or using Lake Tye, then I'm all for that. But that's how I would leave it open, is just we'd love to see this happen again, but I would like a promoter to take it on and then request to the city how we can help. And so that's it. Thanks.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess the question that comes to mind on this is, would Mr. Brock or any of the musicians even want to play at the fairgrounds? We got the open invitation, we heard it, sure. But does that of interest to them? And we don't know that. So, you know, I'm really not in favor of having staff spend a whole lot of time making the phone calls for a promoter. I would recommend that, you know, Mr. Brock or whoever is wanting to put on the event, let them make those calls. You know, let them dig the information and you know, bring back to the city that, you know, let us discuss it with us then. I mean, but it's a simple phone call, I get it, but let someone else make the phone call. So.
Okay, Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, the discussion has helped clarify things. So in my mind, what I meant, since Mike knows the county guys, on speed dial, just calling to find out about a date, if that is even feasible, and then, okay, great, we'll have them contact you, click.
Okay.
So I was thinking, you know, 5-minute phone call at the most. So, and then passing that information on to Mr. Brock and whoever, like we've said, anyone else, it's open, fair game for anyone to step in. So in my making the motion, that was what I had in mind.
Okay.
So I'd be happy to withdraw the motion and redo a motion to make a phone call.
No, I understand what you're looking for.
Yeah.
No, okay. I understand what you're looking for.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I guess I'm just looking at, I'm in agreement with with everyone saying. I guess my point is that I'm looking at it more at a macro level. Throw out that it's a music fest. We had a presentation saying, hey, we're willing to partner with you.
Yep.
Call it a city event. Right. What are things that we can do from a partnership level for an event, whether it's music or and or otherwise, at any one of the facilities? From an economic development perspective, which is what we started down this road at last year, we should know that. We should know, okay, if we wanted to have a city event and partner with the county that has the parking, that has the infrastructure and the facilities, whether it's an indoor facility or whether it's the outdoor speedway, we should know that. So I think that would be very well worth our time from a city staff perspective to invest that. The invitation is out there from our counterparts at the county saying, yes, we are willing to partner with you. Let's get the information, whether we use it for a music fest or whatever other event we have. I think it would be valuable to have in our back pocket.
Okay. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Councilmember Gamble, you just made me switch my vote. Look at that. So if it's a simple phone call asking a general information, I guess for me the whole thing is I want a promoter to take it on. I want it to be very, very clear that is not the city leading this. But if we're looking at a general conversation, how we can partner with the fairgrounds and how if we were to do events and blah, 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 those conversations should be happening anyways.
Right.
So,
agreed. Do you yield for a comment?
It just made me switch my vote.
Please notify Councilmember Williams that it, former Councilmember Williams, that it can be done.
I'll call him.
Okay.
That's good. I like that.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. So, Mr. Hanford, was that kind of the gist of your motion then? I mean, after all this.
Correct.
I mean, just a generalized phone call.
It's for direction.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So at this point, whereas before I was asking for a motion if you wanted me to do anything further with the music fest per se, okay, you're just asking for staff to call and find out what it takes to partner. If you'd like to vote, go ahead and do so. Yeah. it's a simple enough matter. You're not making a policy decision. In this case, I'm comfortable with just asking staff to gather the information that you've requested. I understand that we will not take any other action on the Music Fest for 2014, but that council would like information on what Mr. Gossman and Mr. Tigan were referencing in terms of partnering with the county at the fairgrounds. And so Mr. Farrell will contact the fairgrounds and find out things like costs, availability, and what sort of partnership opportunities exist between the city and the fairgrounds. And if that sounds like what you're looking for, then you can either make a motion to that effect or my direction has been given. So, Councilmember Gehring.
The only thing I didn't hear there was leaving it open. Yeah. So.
Leaving it open?
Yes. That's the only thing I didn't hear from you. So.
Okay, so let's...
That needs to be part of that.
Okay, so let's... I want to understand, again, leaving it open. So...
It could still happen this year if somebody came in and...
Promote.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But the information that you're asking for is that you're not asking for any other somebody coming in on a white horse, as you were putting it, with a lacrosse stick.
Baseball bat.
Somebody coming in doesn't require work from our staff, and I understand that. So
other than whatever.
Somebody comes in, we'll the door is open for other people.
Open means still open. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mike, do you have any questions?
Let's vote.
No, of course he does.
Okay. So there is a motion on the table. I think I've clarified our understanding of the motion. You can either proceed with the motion or withdraw the motion.
Yes,
I'll withdraw the motion.
No, make
the motion.
No, he needs.
Point of order.
Yes.
When the motion goes on the floor, it can no longer be withdrawn by the motion maker because it belongs to the entire body.
Thank you.
So you may either amend the motion or you may vote.
Thank you.
It's your choice. It's your decision.
Vote.
Okay. All those in favor, Councilmember Gamble, I think, is blinking his light, but not.
No.
No one's blinking.
Okay. Pointing at me.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Okay.
I just wanted it on the record.
I would like to ask a request as well. If I could get a copy of the written motion, that would be excellent.
We'll work on that. I'll help you.
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor's got that.
For purposes of the record.
Sure. Perfect.
Thank you.
I have homework.
Thank you.
Whew. I'll write it.
All right. Next item that we have is street maintenance funding. This is under new business. And Brad, do you have this presentation?
No.
Nope. I'm sorry. Diane.
We talked earlier about funding for the street maintenance fund and how we are no longer funding the pavement preservation program. And so council had asked me to get detailed information of what does it cost for the street maintenance fund. So that's in your packet, the itemization of the revenues and the expenditures of, you know, how much we pay for snow and ice control and how much we paid about a little over $100,000 for street lighting and all. And we used to, before my time, pay for pavement preservation, which includes asphalt overlay. We used to pay for it with royalty revenues from Lakeside Gravel and Cadman Mining. That revenue stream is gone. So right now our revenue sources are the franchise, well, they're not franchise fees, but it's a negotiated fee for Republic Services, the garbage company for the wear and tear on our roads and their trucks, and from the gas tax that we receive from the city. So that money covers everything in street maintenance except the pavement preservation program. And that's what we're looking for now is direction from council on how to pay for that. In your packet is a list from the budget discussions last fall of some options for street maintenance funding. And this was reviewed by the P4 Council Committee. And they have some recommendations. They discussed the pros and cons of Band-Aid fix versus long-term solution, and I believe at this time I'll leave it to the committee to take over the discussion.
Sure. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
And then committee members, feel free to chime in. We did discuss this at our March 10th, was that when we met? March 10th transportation meeting of property, or the P4. And we did look at, I think we all were in agreement that we didn't want a Band-Aid fix. That some of the options, and we appreciated all, listing all of the options, we appreciated that. And looking at some of them, we felt that in order to really solve this problem, we didn't want to just put a Band-Aid on this year, that we wanted to look at a consistent revenue stream and attaching that to street maintenance so we could, you know, keep up on it, so we wouldn't get back in this position again. And in looking at a couple of the options, we wanted to also show that the street fund, by attaching it to a revenue stream, it would show that the street fund is a priority, that the streets were a priority and we were going, you know, to pay attention to them. So I think the one that we kind of came in agreement was 3B, and that would be going to the voters, and correct me if I'm wrong, council members, but going to the voters to look for a sales tax increase of the 0.2%. And the reason we went with that was to kind of spread it around, knowing that we didn't necessarily want to go first to property tax increase because that affected just the residents. We felt that a sales tax increase put some of the burden on the people that come into our community and shop and then leave and they're traveling on our roads. With Walmart coming in, we felt people were going to be coming even more into our community and shop, and that would help pay for the street fund maintenance. So that was really the one that we came up with. Our only question, and we had this question to Brad, concerned because it's the TBD, the Transportation Benefit District, and we wanted to make sure it could be used for general maintenance. Because in the past we listed projects and then it was for those projects. So I don't know if you found out more information about that, so maybe we'll turn over to Brad and Brad can fill us in.
Yes, I checked state law and both the Municipal Services Research Center, mm-hmm. both of them indicate that it is able for pavement preservation is a acceptable expenditure of Transportation Benefit District monies in addition to construction projects working roads.
Okay. And would we have to put those specific repavement streets on when it goes out to the voters, or could it be a general statement that it's for repavement?
My research so far is just pavement preservation would be
okay.
sufficient.
That would be sufficient. So that was one of the questions we had because we wanted to make sure that we could use it for maintenance and repavement. So in looking at this, we felt that was the best option. And then Councilmember Davis or Rasmussen, did anything you would like to add, or did I miss anything?
We were looking at, you know, under the TBT, we have some options, so the license tab fee increase, and we could do that on our own up to, you know, a $20 increase. Anything over that would require a vote. None of us were interested in doing that. Again, that puts the burden just on the local vehicle owners. And property tax, again, puts the burden on the local property owners. We've got a lot of people using our roads now. The idea of putting that under a sales tax seemed to be more much more overall fair to everybody. Everybody would be paying some sort of portion towards that. So, and that would give us a consistent revenue stream where we could plan on that and be able to bring our maintenance back up to a program, you know, a yearly program where we can be planning and repairing. So I feel that that's the best option, and again, that would be put to the voters for approval, mm-hmm. and so we'd all be playing a part in this. So, And I think this is a, I think, you know, road maintenance and construction is something that's been kind of shorthanded or shorted the last few years because of the economic situation. It's something we need to get back into strongly, and I think everybody would be willing to support that. I know I would. So.
Councilmember Cuddeback, anything else from the committee?
No. I'm anxious to hear other council members and.
Okay. I'll go ahead and. Okay. I'll go ahead and continue then with the meeting with Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yeah, this I liked having all these different options. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that.
Diane.
I'm never for raising taxes as a legislative body. I'd much rather have the people vote and raise their own tax. Mm-hmm. So I really am supportive of option 3B. And if for some reason that doesn't pass, then maybe we will have to mm-hmm. raise them on our own. But I'd much rather let the people vote on that and decide. So that's my feeling.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the work that the committee did. Thanks for coming up with these, and Diane for all the options. 3B is certainly palatable. It's very consistent with what we've asked in the past, is that we take these things to the voters. I guess my only request would be that if this is something that we're going to officially take a vote on, that we the ballot measure and how it's written is extremely important, and that the text of that come back to council before we actually send it off to the county. Sometimes these things can be very, while factual and full of information, are difficult to read, and that's poor marketing. And the way this is needs to be marketed well. It is necessary. We understand that it's necessary, but we need to inform and show the value of this to everyone else. And so when we do this, if there's a motion made, I would certainly appreciate council being able to. But let's look at how it will be worded before we send it off. Mm-hmm. We can view that as body. The importance of getting it passed would depend on every word, quite frankly. So thank you.
Mr. Feilberg.
Just for a point of clarification, that the city council will not be raising the sales tax for a transportation benefit district. That is done by the transportation benefit district board,
which
happens to be UP. It's a different venue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there will have to be a transportation benefit district board meeting that will decide what to do.
Okay. That's a great point, yeah. Brad.
Okay. Oh, so 3B is under, yeah. If I saw the floor, I'm sorry. Okay, so 3B is under, is as the TBD. So does it have to be, so let me ask this, does it need to be as part of the TBD? Was that,
yeah,
was that discussed?
The city council can't raise sales tax by 0.2% for transportation projects.
Not for transportation projects, yeah. But sales tax for the police, so that's different for the police department than, okay. Yeah. All right, very good. All right, appreciate that. Thank you. That's it.
Okay, so I just want to clarify. So the TBD, who would also be the city council, would make the decision on the 0.2% sales tax.
Right, but as the TBD board,
understood.
Not as the city council. So it can't be done at the city council meeting. It has to be done at the transportation benefit district meeting. Board meeting.
Okay, so I want to clarify. A couple of council members expressed that this would go to a vote of the people. Would this go to a vote of the people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Understood.
The Transportation Benefit District Board will come up with a ballot measure, pass a resolution.
There we go.
Good. I just wanted to clarify that when you mentioned the TBD, that wasn't replacing the vote of the people.
Right. Okay. Our Transportation Benefit District was established with the specific caveat that all fundraising would have to be approved by a vote of the people.
Good.
Even though the ones that state law allows to be done just unilaterally.
Okay. Good. Thank you for clarifying for me. Okay, any other comments? Okay, so Diane, what would be the next steps?
Perhaps the council could, I would getting the consensus that council will direct staff to hold a TBD board meeting or call one to order or publish, however it's done, and have direct staff to bring a ballot ordinance or resolution, I'm not sure, after the TBD motion, to that board.
Okay. So council and city clerk, is this the appropriate venue? I believe it is, for council to direct staff to convene the TBD and prepare a draft ordinance for the 0.2% sales tax increase for roads maintenance.
I believe that is correct, and from what I heard from Mr. Fielberg is that it's a resolution with the ballot measure that the TBD would be considering. So it seems to me that that would be the appropriate motion, would be to direct staff to convene the TBD, prepare the appropriate resolution for item 3B.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I heard a first from Councilmember Hanford. I heard a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes. And the second on that was Councilmember Gearing. Sorry, not Councilmember Gamble. All right, next up on the agenda is Councilmember Reports. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. It's kind of an interesting week. We had, of course, the tragic events over the weekend in Oso, and a family friend of cancer survivor ended up losing that battle. And then also went to see, my wife and I had a preview of Heaven Is For Real, the book. They made it into a movie, and we actually got preview tickets to go see it. So it's kind of all timely how all this has happened, but all I have to say, it's been a pretty somber week so far. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
I just quickly want to thank the public, all those that kind of wrote into council and the mayor in regards to the music fest and then the other events as well. Thank you for that participation. We greatly appreciate it, and please, anytime, keep it coming. Thank you.
Councilmember Davis.
Only that I am awed at the at what happened in Oso. That was an incredible tragedy, and I I'll continue to those folks up in my prayers and in my thoughts, and I'm sure we all will too. So that's going to be a long process for them, and my heart breaks at the thought of what's going on out there right now. So,
thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
I echo the comments in regards to the landslide. That's for those that do know me. That's my hometown, Arlington. Grew up Arlington and Stilly Valley and also Harrington are kind of the old stomping grounds. It's a lot of friends. It's just a, out of those events, just a lot of just stories of, the positive, the human side, comes out where people banding together. I mean, it's just it's an unbelievable disaster. And, social media gives us so much more access to when events like that happen that I find myself, I can't read it, and then I have to read it. But just thoughts and prayers with everybody in the Arlington and Oso and Darrington communities. On a better note, softball did kick off. It was spending yesterday in the Granite Falls, where my parents graduated from high school. Was a welcome relief from a lot of the events for this weekend, and our Monroe major softball girls are 1-0 after that event. So that made it
very nice. Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. You spoke of positive human side good things coming out of bad. There's a young boy here in town. Some folks may know. Plays baseball. He's a seventh grader. Has flesh-eating bacteria. Said 7 or 8 surgeries in the last few days. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson got to visit him today. I thought that was really cool. And while that's a great thing, it's just a positive human side. I appreciate a person of that stature, of that just giving of their time and doing things like that. So it was a bright spot in an ugly story for something that's going on here in town. Certainly prayers with him and his family as well for making that. Hopefully that will be, they'll figure out something. They'll be able to get ahead of it, I guess. I don't know how you tackle that. So, and just want to echo everything with you. So
there is an event tomorrow on Wednesday for him at Lake Time.
That's right. There's a prayer event tomorrow. That's right. And I don't remember the actual detail.
And kids taking the plunge in the lake.
All to raise money for the medical expenses.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't even imagine having had that many surgeries. But again, that's right here in this community. But again, I'm thankful for people who have much giving of their time. People like the like the quarterback of the team. So I just think that is cool. So something good in a bad situation, brightening people's spirits. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Farrell.
Oh, thank you. Now I'm just going to echo what Councilman Gary was talking about today. I believe it's Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night,
at 6 p.m. And there's some sort of a polar plunge or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how cold it is, but it's cold. And other things to benefit.
Ms. Nelson.
Standard and Poor's, the bond rating agency, took it upon themselves to review the city of Monroe's credit rating, and they've been calling me and getting a lot of information and a lot of back and forth, and they finally published the report. It's going to be in your packet, I think, in the next meeting. But they upgraded us.
Oh, good.
We went from an A-plus to an AA-minus, double A-minus. So that was nice.
Hmm.
So that was good news, and it's going to be in your packet, the published report,
under
staff reports.
Okay.
Mr. Feilberg, thank you.
Okay.
Chief Quinzer.
I would like to kind of tell the council that we have volunteered our services to help Captain Oso to the Sheriff Nelson State Patrol. And we have not seen anybody up there. They haven't passed us yet. But I know it's this evening that the Fidelity account is climbing to 24. So.
Thank you, Chief. And I understood from a Facebook post, I think, that the Fire District Number 3 had sent people up from search and rescue as well. So our community is responding, and it's impacted a lot of lives. So. Let's go ahead and take a look at the agenda for next week. This is for April 1st, 2014. From the draft agenda that was in your packets, you'll see that we've removed consent agenda item number 3, and we've added in the staff/department report from finance regarding the credit rating or the bond rating. So do council members have any questions about the agenda?
We took care of number 1 tonight.
Yes, we did take care of number 1 tonight. Thank you. So Paul's already left. Okay. So we'll move with the second and final reading on April 8th as currently expected in the extended agenda. All right. Anybody else have any questions about the agenda for next week? The final item that we have then would be to look at the extended agenda. Does anybody have any questions on the extended agenda? All right.
Did you say the 8th was the second reading?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be the second reading on the 8th. Yes, it is the fourth row down.
There it is. Yep, thank you. Got it.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen and I would like to add on social media policy back on the agenda sometime in April, maybe a meeting later in April.
How about April 15th?
Is it on April 15th?
Row 3, April 15th.
Oh, I thought you said it was on. Are you saying how about?
Oh, it's on.
It's already there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. And I have it marked as tentative. I'm not certain why it is marked as tentative.
Yeah, okay. There it is.
Because Gene was doing research.
Ah, Gene's okay. Doing research. Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was easy.
Yeah, I know.
Already there.
Okay. Anything else on the extended agenda? All right. I have nothing further. I do require a council action if nobody else has anything further. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Have a great evening. Thank you.